Chapter 37, Soessi. The excavation was nearly ready. The Thenadin battleship had been reamed and braced. Soon they'd be able to fill the cylindrical cavity with its intended cargo and be off. Hannes Soessi couldn't wait. He'd had it with working underwater. If the truth be told, he'd about had it with fins, too. Gads! The stories he would be able to tell back home. He had bossed work gangs under the smog oceans of Titan. He had helped herd adenine comets through the Soup Nebula. He had even worked with those crazy Amerindians and Israelis who were trying to terraform Venus. But never had a job taught him the laws of perversity as this one had. Almost all of the materials they'd had to work with were of alien manufacture, with weird ductility and even stranger quantum conductivities. He'd had to check the psionic impedance of almost every connection himself, and still their masked marvel would probably leak telekinetic static all over the sky when it took off. Fins. They were the frosting. They'd flawlessly perform the most delicate operation, then swim about in circles squealing primal nonsense when the opening of a hatchway set off a particular pattern of sonar reflections. And every time a job was finished, they called for old Soessi. "Check it for us, Hannes," they'd ask. "Make sure we've done it right." They tried so damned hard. They couldn't help feeling like half-finished clients of wolfling patrons in an impossibly hostile galaxy, especially when it was all true. Soessi admitted he was bitching more to hear the echoes in his own skull than out of any real complaint. The Streakers had done the job. That was all that really mattered. He was proud of every one of them. Anyway, it had been a lot better since Hikahi arrived. She provided an example for the rest, teasing with Kaninke parables to help the Fen concentrate. Soessi rolled over onto one elbow. His narrow bunk was only a meter below the ceiling. Inches from his shoulder was the horizontal hatch to his coffin-like sleeper compartment. "I've rested enough," he thought, though his eyes were scratchy and his arms still ached. There was no sense in trying to go back to sleep. He would only stare at his eyelids now. Soessi pushed the narrow hatch open. He shielded his eyes from the overhead lights of the companionway as he sat up and swung his legs over the side. They splashed. Ugh! Water! Except for the top meter or so up here near the ceiling, the skiff was full of water. His body looked pale in the sharp hall light. "I wonder when I'm scheduled to fade away," he thought, sliding into the water with his eyes closed. He swam over to the head and closed the door behind him. Naturally, he had to wait until the room pumped out before he could use any of the fixtures. A little later, he made his way to the control room of the tiny spacecraft. Hikahi was there with Tisht, fussing over the comm set. They argued in a fast, squeaky version of Anglic he couldn't follow. "Whoa," he called. "If you want to keep me out, fine. But if I can help, you'd better change to 33 1/3. I'm not Tom Orley. I can't follow that jabber." The two dolphin officers lifted their heads clear of the water as Soessi took a grip on a nearby wall rail. Hikahi's eyes extended outward to refocus for above-water binocular vision. "We aren't sure we have a problem, Hannes, but we seem to have lost contact with the ship."
"With Streaker?" Soessi's bushy eyebrows went up. "Are they under attack?"
Tisht rocked her upper body left to right slightly.
"We don't think so. I was here waiting for word that they'd heard from Orley and would be moving the ship soon. I wasn't paying close attention, but heard the operator suddenly tell us to stand by. Then nothing."
"When was that?"
"A few hours ago. I waited till shift change, hoping it was a technical glitch at the ship. Then I called Hikahi."
"We've been tracing circuits since then," the senior officer finished.
Soessi swam over to look at the set. Of course, the thing to do was tear it apart and check it by hand, but the electronics were sealed away against the wetness. If only we were in free fall so the fins could work without all this damned water everywhere.
All right, he sighed. With your permission, Hikahi, I'll kick you two officers and gentle fens out of the control room and look at the unit. Don't bother the fen resting in the hold.
Hikahi nodded. I'll send a crew to follow the monofilament and see if it's intact.
Good thinking, and don't worry. I'm sure nothing's really the matter. It's probably just gremlins at work.